Welcome to the See You Next Summer podcast. I'm your host, Billy Pollihan, and with me, as always, is the Green Goblin truck to my killer soda machine.
Yes!
Mr. Raul Rodriguez. Hey, I made you the main antagonist, so
that's true.
Welcome. What's up, buddy?
My God. This movie was
amazing. Welcome to the end of Stephen King month, by the way.
Like Lady Gaga says, excellent, beautiful, overtaking. Like, this is a GIF of our Lady Gaga just saying a lot of, like, buzzwords. This is what this movie feels like.
This is a movie made for Raul.
Yes!
It and was I made for me. I knew he would love it. I didn't know he would love it this much, though. It surprised me. But it shouldn't have surprised me. But we're talking about Maximum Overdrive. Released in 1986, and it is directed by Stephen King himself. He also did the screenplay. It's based on the short story Trucks, so does count. And this is also one of the very rare times where the story does not take place in Maine.
North Carolina.
They filmed it in Wilmington. So, and we have our friend Randall is from he's from North Carolina, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, Raleigh. So. Yeah, he's from Raleigh, so shout out to Randall. We love him. And yeah, so the basic plot is that all machines become sentient because the Earth is at the tail end of a comet.
Yeah,
and that they just start killing people. That's basically all you need to know.
Steven, this is a much better movie than the super cellular movie that happened with Samuel Jackson and John Cusack like 3 years ago.
Oh, God, what was that called?
It was called Cellular. I think that was the name.
Or Cell.
Yeah, like Cell or Cellular.
Yeah, not The Cell, which is...
the one with Jennifer Lopez.
Yes, which is one
of
those...
That movie, good.
It's actually one of those artsy movies.
Yeah, like
that,
it's a like 24 kind of artsy.
Yeah, but this was intentionally pretentious.
Or
which is only half of A24.
Or not an amazing thriller with Chris Evans and Kim Basinger, Cellular. That's an amazing one.
Maybe. It's no 1408.
Yeah, 1408.
That is for another day, which
yeah,
I didn't know that was
that's
Stephen
That's for
King.
The sequel, if we're going to do Stephen King again. But because we're going to end the month, I have to do it. This is how Stephen King pitched to Dino De Laurentiis this movie.
Ah, yes, the famous producer, Dino De Laurentiis. Probably most famous for Flash Gordon.
Seventh book. This couple is
I don't know if we're going to get copyrighted for this.
A lamp monster. You're not even trying anymore, are you? When can I have it?
I don't know if we're going to get copyrighted, though. That's
Like, our 20 listeners, they're not going to care.
Yeah, but the Fox might.
We don't own anything.
Just yeah, say that. That's true. That's true.
Yeah, we don't own anything. Fox, Disney, whatever. But... But he was with Dino Lente, says they're going to be attacked by a spooky truck with a green goblin. Especially because Marvel has no money right now. We can own it. We can use it.
And it is straight up the Green Goblin.
Yes, it is the Green Goblin from the comics. Wow. I told Billy that this movie feels like it was also like the basis for The Happening. Because there's a lot of stuff from The Happening here too. Like they focus on so many characters that are trying to get to that same spot. To get away from, like, what's happening. At least we've seen the machines killing people. I know in Night like, Shyamalan is a little more interesting because it's people killing themselves. It's way more interesting. But I can also see that... I pitched this at, like, a perfect double feature, though. Because it's partially scary and it's partially funny. There's a lot of overacting in both of them. There's a lot of memorable moments. Like, in this one... The soda machine killing a coach and children, that's a thing that I didn't expect. And I'm like, this movie got three extra points.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't tell you about the killer soda machine.
Yes. The killer soda machine was like, okay, this movie got bumped three extra points just because of that.
But yes, this movie begins with, it seems like a regular day, cameo by Stephen King, once again, mm-hmm. second movie in a row with a Stephen King cameo. He cameos in quite a few of his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the sign overhead is saying, fuck you. And then the machine, the ATM that he's trying to get the money out of just calls, says, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
And then it just keeps saying, asshole. Hey, honey, come over here, sugar bear. It says that this machine's calling me an asshole. And then we hear AC/DC. They do the entire soundtrack. Like, there's no score. It's just AC/DC. And that is so cool.
And then we get into this bridge that is opening up because of the failure of the machines and a lot of people and a lot of melons and a lot of watermelons.
Rednecks. Rednecks. There's plenty of rednecks in here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a lot. That's a staple.
And a religious person.
Yes. It's a staple of...
Do we get any alcoholics, though? Any alcoholics at all?
Oh, yeah, that's true. They drink soda.
Yeah. They went around that. That's a subversion a little
no
bit.
No riders?
No riders. Mm-hmm. But there is a kid. There are true. Kids.
And he bullies. Kills kids. That's another staple of Stephen King. He kills a lot of kids in his stories.
He kills, but this is a rare thing. He actually kills animals in this movie, which I was surprised.
Well,
it was kind of funny, Cujo though.
Came out. Didn't
Cujo... Oh, yeah. He kills a lot of animals as well.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's a good thing, because that's one of the signs that you're a serial killer. No, seriously, that's not a joke. That's why I think Wes Anderson is a serial killer, because he kills a lot of animals.
But you're doing it in fiction, though.
Oh, still?
Yeah, and so after this, we get this bridge scene that a lot of people are dying, and a lot of watermelons, and it's opening up. And
including a van that has the AC/DC logo on it.
Mm-hmm. I was like, so he killed AC/DC in the first scene? And I'm like, was this the basis for Final Destination 5? And then we get into, with no explanation, the Green Goblin truck.
Yeah, we don't understand why this guy, he's like, oh, that's an awesome head, but it's the Green Goblin. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, but it said on June 19th, 1987 at 9:47 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, it's very specific, mm-hmm. planet Earth passes through the tail of a rogue comet, the Rhea M, for just over a week. And then in Wilmington, North Carolina, the machines start coming alive. And we know this because it's read in text. No mm-hmm. exposition, monologue, narration, or whatever. Which I would just rather that we just get plain text if they got to do exposition.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that. The drawbridge. We get the idiot assistant to the bridge operator who's just mm-hmm. like, you idiot, we did this, because they're like, the light is green mm-hmm. and yet the bridge is still going up. And then we cut to the Dixie Boy truck stop mm-hmm. where this movie is going to take place. And it's funny that you brought up Cujo, because it feels a little bit like Cujo, because it's all one place,
mm-hmm. confined space,
hot weather,
yeah.
And the fact that we got our heroes that have to go out, including fourth movie in a row with a character named Bill. Bill Robinson, played by, finally, he's on our podcast, I guess. I mean, not literally, I wish. But a movie with him in it, Emilio Estevez.
We have never done one with Emilio.
Never done with Emilio. I'm surprised we didn't do Mighty Ducks or Breakfast Club.
Yeah, we haven't yet. Not even a movie with Charlie Sheen yet either.
Yeah, so the first of the Estevez Sheen dynasty. I don't know if we've ever had Martin Sheen in a movie.
No, we haven't done this Amazing Spider-Man movie, so no.
No, no.
Not even West Wing or...
Something no, good.
We haven't done anything with Martin Sheen.
It's just weird also because Emilio looks exactly like his father. Like, he's a carbon copy. It's kind of surreal. But it's also awesome. But he's a parole prisoner from the state pen. He's working as the short order cook, because I guess that's the only job you can get on parole is just a short order cook.
And his boss is Commissioner Gordon from the Tim Burton movies.
Yep, Pat Hengel without the mustache, so that was weird. And Hendershot, he's the owner of the truck stop. Biggest dick in this movie. but he's also incredibly Southern. So it's just, it's funny. Mm-hmm. He is intentionally fucking over his staff as well, because Bill is like, you want me to punch out for 8 hours, even though I'm working 9 hours. And he's mm-hmm. just like, you don't like that. I can send you right back to prison. He's just like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, and then also we get with the Wanda character, that she will have one of the most memorable lines in the movie. Well, one of the waitresses. And she gets caught by the turkey cutter. One of those
turkey carver.
Yeah. I was like, ooh.
You gotta love that.
That thing got me.
Because not even just the arm. For me, it was when it went into the shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bill destroys it. That's a
Final Destination ship.
Yeah. We also get introduced to some more people whose names you won't really remember or anything. No. Just the rednecks.
The rednecks also...
The one black guy who actually doesn't die.
The one black guy that was in the really RC arcade room with the neon lights and the red and all red.
And there's also the black truck owner.
The owner of the Green Goblin truck.
Of the Green Goblin car.
Yeah.
Or semi.
He only had like 3 lines in the whole movie.
Yeah. His name's Frankie Faison, played by Frankie Faison.
The guy from Scrubs?
No, that's Donald Faison.
Oh.
But let me see.
They're not related?
I'm looking that up right now. Oh, yeah. You want to know who was that video game player, by the way? Giancarlo Esposito.
That's why he looked familiar.
Yeah. I was like, damn, that is... I thought, huh. You know, I just never noticed that. Frankie Faison, he's... you know the guy that wheels out Hannibal Lecter, Barney? That's him.
Oh.
Cool. All right. Good for him.
And then we get into a cinematic masterpiece of a scene. We see some children playing baseball. And then the coach promises that he's going to buy everyone soda.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, the video game player, he gets electrocuted.
Yes, he gets electrocuted by all of the machines. Especially when he was stealing a lot of cigarettes and quarters.
Yeah, and also the trucks start driving on their own, and they know this because they're the guy who has the Green Goblin car, his name's Handy, he's like, I got the keys, so this shouldn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, describe this scene.
And then he goes to the soda machine, puts the quarter in, but there's no soda coming out, and then all of a sudden, a soda goes through his balls. And then he goes into the floor, and the other soda goes him, not technically through his head, but he punches him in the head, and you see him bleeding. And then I was like, oh, coach, what is going on? And then we see the soda machine kills another 2 kids with the soda cans.
Only if they get close enough.
They get close enough.
One of them was like, oh, shit, and uses the catcher's mask.
The only important kid in the whole movie.
Yes, the only important kid. And he's also the son of one of the mechanics there who had diesel sprayed in his eyes. If you don't know if that's a bad thing, it's gasoline in your fucking eyeballs. So what do you think? And he gets taken care of by two of the others. One of them is Steve and the other one is Joe. You'll know about Joe a little bit, but you don't really care about Steve. And black guy that gets Giancarlo Esposito gets he was gonna steal because all the machines start going haywire and he was stealing a ton of cigarettes and money
and quarter
as well. Fair enough. And then the soda machine pretty messed up, but that's not all, because one of the kids gets run over by a fucking steamroller. I mean, it's not super graphic, but it's enough. And I forget on the bridge, all the watermelons. There are people that get, like, legitimately killed by watermelons.
Yes. Not only that, it's not like the scene from Austin Powers of the guy with the steamroller. Stop! And he's still not moving.
Yep, the only guy that's been killed by both Michael Myers.
Oh!
Because he was in Halloween Kills, he was one of the guys.
have this house. Oh, that's true.
Yeah, I remember him from Mad TV. Mm-hmm. He had a character named Stuart. Mm-hmm. But after the soda killing machine and the steamroller, what happened? Oh, yeah, he also the kid also noticed that the steamroller had no driver. Mm-hmm. So, of course, he gets on his bike. Because everybody used to ride bikes back in the day.
In the 80s.
In the 80s. Oh, yes, the technology in the 80s, because there's a scene later that's very much dated because of certain technology that kills people. Mm-hmm. And it makes me wonder, you could do it now, especially with how advanced technology has come. It would just be interesting. But then it could also backfire because it could be like the Child's Play remake.
No, the Child's Play remake didn't play with it. That was the mistake of the Child Play remake.
Like, that you was his mistake. Mm-hmm. Sorry, it's a meme.
The only good scene in that movie is that fucking Tesla that drives itself and it kills the blind lady and wanted to go to bingo.
Yeah. That's not the stupid only technology like in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, the fucking the Netflix one. The Tesla. The
terrible, thing. Terrible I like Halloween it. End or Halloween ripoff. Like the Halloween 2018 ripoff. Mm-hmm. Even though that's not what Texas Chainsaw Massacre is. Oh, yes. And then we get the female hitchhiker, Brett, mm-hmm. played by the sister from What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
That's why she looked familiar.
Yep. And she's smoking, and she's getting sexually harassed by the Bible salesman. His name is Loman, obviously, like, Death of a Salesman, mm-hmm. Willie Loman. And this dude is the Southern, of course. Like, he's putting his hand on her thighs and stuff, and she's just like, yeah, I want to go. Give me mm-hmm. that hell out of here. And he's just trying to be like, hey, I was... And they're trying to listen to the radio as well. That's a thing, is that mm-hmm. the radio keeps messing up because obviously it's technology, it's a machine. And it makes you really think, man, we rely on a lot of machines.
Not only that, I love this movie, but I have a really interesting question. Is all of the characters are still alive because they have plot armor? Especially like those people in the car. Why didn't their car went berserk and kill them inside like Christine
style? I would like to think that it was just beginning. Because you forget that this is all taking place in one day.
Nah, that's true.
At least this first act is taking place in one day. And Brett hears the news that a little bit that they're unexplained events and like microwave something facilities are being inoperative and get away at once and all the roads and highways mm-hmm. Should be clear. So that's why there's no cars there. And they, because the Bible salesman Loman doesn't stop and she's just like, all right, get me out. And so mm-hmm. they pull into the Dixie Boys truck.
Stop.
And they over. Oh, yeah. The car, the Green Goblin, it's called the Happy Toys car. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, funny. And one of the gas station attendants is like, whoa, because it just starts moving by itself. Mm-hmm. And they find that the cars, that the semis are empty and that there's no cars on the road at all, which is something that's weird for some. At 10:30 in the morning, mm-hmm. there's always trucks in American.
And also, truck stops. I noticed one of the shots when the Green Goblin truck is checking out Emilio Estevez's ass through a mirror. I don't know, you noticed that shot?
It was.
And then we get into Billy's favorite character, Lisa Simpson, Curtis.
Yeah. No. What about the kid going through the town and we see that people get killed by the Walkmans and there's a dog that gets killed by a little remote control RC mm-hmm. RC police car. And of course the killer ice cream truck, yes. Which is great. Kid manages to avoid all of it. But also there's the implied lawnmower thing, which during production, mm-hmm. there was something, you saw the lawnmower kill. But
The Happening too. That's why I'm telling. There's a lot of stuff from The Happening, especially like the kid going in the road and seeing all of the people kill. Remember that shot when you see John Leguizamo seeing all of the people getting hanged and all the people that kill themselves?
Yes. But, so the cinematographer was an Italian man, Armando Nannuzzi, and he didn't speak English. So just keep this in mind. And they were going to do an RC-controlled lawnmower for a scene for it going out of control. Mm-hmm. And Stephen King wanted to use actual blades near the camera. You know, he wanted a low shot of that. And he was like, oh, why are you going to do that? Nobody's going to look at the blades anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, no, I just really want it. So they did that. But unfortunately, a block of wood came and it struck him in the eye. So one of those splinters came and it got him in his he lost his right eye because of it.
Shit.
And so he sued Stephen King, Dino De Laurentiis, and 15 others for $18 million in damages because of the unsafe work practices.
Mm-hmm.
It was, of course, settled out of court. Nice. But that's just one of the things during the production of this movie, because Stephen King has disowned this movie. He called it a moron movie, and he made it because he was coked out of his mind.
Yeah.
And another person said he was drinking all day. He would have like 10, 11 beers the entire day.
Damn.
He had a miserable time doing this because this is his first and only time directing. Oh, he said it was a learning experience. Yeah. And Dino De Laurentiis was very controlling, especially like with the wardrobe for Laura Harrington, who was Brett, because he didn't like that she was in jeans, and was like, let's just get a scene of her changing into something more, you know, I guess revealing or showing a little bit more like outside skin. No big like cleavage or anything. It's not bad, but it's like, why can't she just wear jeans? Just be comfortable. But it's whatever. And just the whole production of... but De Laurentiis did personally do the special effects and many of the wardrobe stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but they actually did film in Wilmington, North Carolina. And De Laurentiis did end up with one of the Green Goblin heads. But... Stephen King wanted somebody else for Bill. He wanted somebody very specific. Bruce Springsteen. Yeah, that would have been very interesting. And, yeah, a lot of this was... De Laurentiis worked on The Dead Zone with David Cronenberg. Wanted to do something similar with that. And this was just a really weird production. And a lot of sets were blown over because of Hurricane Gloria at that time. And because, I mean, obviously the storm was happening. But one good thing that happened was Pat Hingle decided to move to Wilmington after production wrapped.
Nice.
He lived near Carolina Beach until he died. Yeah, just the whole, I would love to see the behind the scenes documentary about the making of this movie.
Or you can do like kind of like a dramatized version of it, kind of like a The Offer, kind of like that show from Paramount Plus.
Oh my god, don't even get me started on that.
Yeah, train and wreck. So and then we get into the Lisa Simpson couple with Lisa Simpson and the other guy. I'm pretty sure I have seen that guy in something before too, and like in another Stephen King adaptation or something. That blonde guy.
Connie and Curtis.
Yes, Curtis. Don't go there, Curtis.
She's very annoying. She does nothing but yell and bitch about everything. And they're the newlywed, and they stop there because their car is going nuts and they're getting chased by a killer tow truck. And it's a very close call. And I love that she's like, Curtis, are you dead? Like, what the hell?
Don't make me a widow on my wedding day, Curtis. And also,
man, you're Lee Smith. Then
we're getting to, I call this the moment I was like, this is an America kind of like movie, because then we get Commissioner Gordon. All of the trucks are like going around the coffee shop, the gas station, and he gets a bazooka, a missile launcher, and he throws one into the trucks, and it was like, yeah, fuck yeah. And I'm like, wow, I did not expect the Commissioner Gordon to use one of those. That's when the movie, you're like, okay, movie, you're keeping surprising me, and I'm loving this. And then I'm like, pretty sure Michael Bay had a boner when he saw this. And then we get into the Brett character, and she says the title of the movie. She's like, I was planning to hitchhike to Florida, but before every machine went into maximum overdrive. And I tested.
Bob, you said it.
He said it, and I tested to Billy.
That's not until later, because what happens is the mechanic guy was going to go, the one that got sprayed with diesel in his eyes. He's going to go out to look for his son, the kid from the Little League game. And it's implied that he's an ex-con as well that's getting exploited. And he goes out, and the Happy Toys Green Goblin truck just runs him over and kills him. And then the Bible salesman goes out because it hits his car as he's pitching, you know, $9.95, and here's what's in the Bible. But then he goes out, and he's just like, son of a bitch! And he goes out there to insult the driver, but then he sees that there's no driver. But he gets run, like he gets hit into a quarry. And it's just like, okay, I guess he's dead. And yeah, so everybody's now inside. And the truck starts circling the truck stop. Like a bunch of trucks start circling like a pack of, like a flock of vultures. Or just predators, just waiting for somebody to go out.
Yeah.
And these trucks are loud.
There was no mist or pollution of like so many trucks going around, though. There was no mist or any fog.
Yeah, and Hendershot, Pat Hengel, he keeps calling everyone Bubba.
Yeah.
As well. It's very weird.
Even his plate said Bubba, and the plate
because his name is Bubba, that's why.
Yeah. Not Bubba Gum?
No. Or I think it's Saved by the Bell. Jesse calling Slater Bubba.
Ah.
That's for you 90s kids out there. So I'm all the so phones excited. And the radios.
I'm so excited.
All the phones and radios are out. Also, the gas pumps are machines that are not working now. And everything is becoming sentient. And then Curtis and Connie, they see the trucks. And they're just like, what the hell? They're able to crash into the Dixie Boy. Or they're able to get in there. And then what happens after that? Then that's when Hendershot comes out with a fucking rocket launcher. And he blows up two of the trucks. And then Emilio is just like, to the Joe guy, he's like, where did you guys get the weapons? He's just like, oh, we got a ton of them. But Hendershot's just like, shut up, Joe. He's like, oh, okay, I can't say anything. Then he intimidates, or he's just like, later, when Joe is pooping, he literally looks over the stall, and there's pooping plop sound effects. And he's just like, come on, tell me, does he have a lot of weapons? And he's like, yeah. And Bill and Brett are very much together. So you see them flirting a lot, and he's like, he's the good guy and all that shit.
And they hook up too.
Oh, they hook up quite a few times.
And then I love that she says, like, you make love like a hero. I'm like, what the fuck?
What the hell, Steven? When you learn that he was coked out of his mind, it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. And then she gives some exposition. I was like, I think that what's happening is because of the asteroid. And this is technically the first 12 hours of it, and it's going to last for 7 days. So they have to survive those seven days. Yeah.
Samara is in the corner somewhere. Not Samara Weaving, although she would make this crazy movie even crazier, because we love you, Samara Weaving.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if she was born during this time, but Hendershot's, he's trying to blackmail Bill, and he's just like, I could send you to prison again. He's just like, yeah, fat fucking chance. And he just grabs a gun, and he's just like, don't fuck with me. Because he tells Brad about his criminal past. He robbed a grocery store, and that Hendershot's not taking this seriously. But the power in the truck stop goes out, and that's the whole thing with, because they're fucking, and this is post-sex, and that's when we get the bright green light Mm-hmm. And I can't help but think of The Simpsons and Aurora Borealis.
Yes, not only
Aurora Borealis. This time of year.
The first time they went, the waitress won, she was like, "We made you! Why are you doing this? We
made you!" She immediately loses her mind, and they're just like, "All right, calm down." I'm surprised nobody just slapped her in the face and said, "Snap out of it, woman."
Like in Airplane style?
Yeah.
There's a line.
And there's a line.
Yeah, and then we see that the kid gets also technically into the gas station. He finds a way to get into the gas station too as well.
Oh, yeah, and Bill suggests, why don't we just go to an island? I have a, I found a boat, no motors, just straight up sail, that we could go to an island where there's...
Like in Dawn of the Dead.
Like in Dawn of the Dead, the remake. And mm-hmm. There's no vehicles or machines. They can hide out there till it's over. Mm-hmm. And then they hear... the Bible salesman, he's like, help. He's still alive.
Yeah, and I was like, I thought he was dead too. I was like, okay.
Yeah, everybody thinks they're just like, why should we go out there? He's basically dead.
Also, there's a lot of like sprinkles of the Stephen King cinematic universe because there's a lot of shots also like in like sewers. I'm like,
the amount of sewers.
Yeah. Ugh.
But I can't help but think when he's yelling, I just can't help but think of Mad Max when he's just like, that's bait.
Oh, God.
Especially with all the trucks mm-hmm. out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't help but think of Mad Max Fury Road. And so what happens is that Curtis and Bill, they go out to rescue him. They get some weapons from Hendershot's arsenal. And it's a straight up like Doomsday Preppers mm-hmm. arsenal as well with all that weapons. Like the Reba in Tremors.
Yes! Yeah,
that kind of arsenal. I guess everybody in the 80s just had a big ass arsenal. Because look at Arnold in Commando. He had like mm-hmm. every weapon known to man. We needed that montage of Emilio weaponing up.
Yeah.
And yeah, they go down. The trucks are also starting to run out of fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to go through the sewers, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, and then also we get into when they rescue the kid and the Bible salesman, then we get into one of like a car that has a machine gun. Oh, and it starts attacking the people. And
oh yeah, they do try to rescue the Bible salesman. That's when they find the kid. Mm-hmm. So the Bible salesman tries to kill him because he's insane.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that he's probably dead at this point. They go back in the drain pipe, and Bill blows up another one of the trucks with a rocket launcher. He doesn't tell him that his dad is dead, but then Hendershot just blurts it out. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and then the kid's obviously devastated, and everyone's just pissed at him, and they're just like, "Yeah, way to go, idiot! It's called tact." So she just smacks him right in the face,
mm-hmm.
And
then the machine gun kills Gordon.
No, that's the next morning because all the trucks ran out of gas mm-hmm. and the machine, the one with the M60 machine gun, there's another one with a large bulldozer
because
mm-hmm. the bulldozer crashes in the building. And Pat Hingle is just like, no, don't fire a rocket at it. But Emilio does, of course. And the machine gun just starts firing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we got the "We made you," and it kills one of the truck stop people, Pat Hingle, and that waitress.
She was also having a rocket launcher too, so she disrupts one of the trucks too in her final shot of the scene.
When she somehow miraculously, as she's falling over, shoots a semi with a rocket launcher, and it's a big ass like boom practical effect mm-hmm. as well, and. We get all the blood squibs mm-hmm. that they used in the 80s that I really wish they would bring back.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cool. But this is a really stupid movie. But it's so hilarious. Everybody's overacting
mm-hmm.
and just taking it seriously. I mean, you got Emilio who's just being very serious and he talks like this the entire time. And it's just... everyone's having a great time.
Yeah, and then... like. Would they notice that the machine gun truck is this kind of like like
it's honking its horn in Morse code. Honking its
horn in Morse code, and then the kid is the only one that knows Morse code. So they find out that they need fuel because they, and I was like, and then one of the people's like, well, let them starve. I was like, you don't fuel us, we're gonna kill you all. And so they have to, and I love that they're technically Emilio Estevez talks to the Green Goblin truck. I was like, we're gonna do what the thing that you wanna do. Tell your friends to come here. Tell them they have the best Anka stuff from the East Coast. I'm like, what kind of refined gasoline they have? Yeah.
With the one that stores Stephen King's cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Or Stephen King's cocaine.
That's true.
But yeah, they...
And they start loading all of the trucks, and they have a big-ass line. Day,
and that's when the... I think that's when Hell's Bells starts playing.
Yes!
Because, yeah, at various points, you do hear AC/DC songs, but... Yeah, for some reason, Hell's Bells starts playing.
Mm-hmm.
And then all these trucks start coming in. I think that's where most of the budget went, whereas the practical those effects trucks. And all the trucks. And all the fuel runs out.
Mm-hmm.
But they get pissed, and that's when we get another conjugal visit, let's just say, from Brett.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, oh, maybe it's a group of aliens using the comet to wipe out humanity, have the machines take us out so we can work as their slaves, because like it's a broom or whatever, so it just sweeps up most of it.
Or maybe a giant turtle.
Steven, how strong was that cocaine when you wrote this? Like, come on, man. But they're also working on an escape, because they know that their days are numbered.
Yeah,
like, and then the truck stop can only take so much.
Mm-hmm. And then Emilio Estevez destroys the gun machine truck, and then the gas station explodes, and all of the people run away, and it's like they seen all the gas station getting destroyed, and it feels really Walking Dead, because you've seen the survivors seeing their home getting destroyed. And I'm like, wow, I thought that the movie had like one more hour to go. And then I checked the time, and I was like, oh my God, it's almost ending. And then they go into
it's a very like fast movie, but it's not like Thinner, where the pacing is weird.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little weird, but you're just having so much fun. Like, this movie's crazy.
Yes, it is. And then they go into a drive-thru, and the drive-thru says, like, there's humans here. And then we see this kid that we have been following the whole movie is holding a machine gun. And destroyed.
Oh, yeah, because they raided the arsenal, and they have to go through the pipes as well. So, again, more disgusting sewer pipes. But then this one burger stand says, like, humans alert, and then he's just like, this is for my father. Boom! And he's like, yeah, I don't want this anymore.
Yeah, and I'm going to say, just to make it, like, relevant of today, Merc. Maybe do what you will. Yeah, and then after this, we get to see they're okay trying to get to the boat, but one of the people, we never give a shit about this guy. All of a sudden, sees a random woman dead in a car with a big ass
whale. No, because you got to explain what happened to the truck stop. Because all the trucks realize that there's nobody inside. So they all just smash in the building and they all blow up.
Well, also because there was no gas.
Yeah. And I mean, the only thing that's not AC/DC music. Is Ride of the Valkyries later on.
Yeah, and then after that, we see this guy. He knows a big-ass wedding ring. And then was like, oh, and then he decides to steal it. But then the Green Goblin truck shows up because he was waiting for them to go on. And then it was like, he's like, no! And then he gets killed. We don't see it a lot. We just see the Green Goblin with the blood spatter on his face. And then we see this amazing last shot of the movie, the Emilio Estevez grabs the rocket launcher, and he says, adios, motherfucker. And then he throws the missile to Green Goblin, and the Green Goblin explodes. As we see that they're all surviving, they're on the boat. And then the kid was like, is it over? And they're like, yes, it is over. And then this is in text that all of them survive. the whole comet was all 7 days as they predicted. And that's technically the end of Maximum Overdrive. A really interesting movie. It was really funny. It's overacting as hell. It's really violent. That's what I was expecting. There was some moment that shit that really, really shocked me. And I'm like, you know what? This was a really good movie. Of course, as a movie, there's a lot of things that doesn't work. But for my taste, this is a really good movie. It was a lot of fun. I wish I would have seen this in theaters, though, with a lot of people.
This movie's nuts. Yes, I mean, it's literally on cocaine. Hell of a soundtrack. It's not technically a good movie, but I had a phenomenal, fantastic time with it. Like, it, I wish I could see this in the movie theaters. I had such a good time watching it, and I'm so glad that you loved it,
Raul. It was a good time, no alcohol required.
Yeah, I guess this is the we're going with the second Jeremy Johns reference in a row.
Yes.
But yeah, if you guys have stuck with us through this entire month, just thank you. And thank you for going on this zany Stephen King journey with us. And if I gotta rate it, in terms of enjoyment, 10 out of 10. In terms of movie, 5. Pretty average.
Ooh.
Forgot that this movie was also nominated for Razzies, but we don't give a shit about the Razzies or the Oscars.
Like you said, like enjoyment-wise, this is an 11. As a movie, I will give it an 8.
I mean, for somebody that had never directed before, Stephen King, not terrible.
It's not terrible.
Pretty standard. It's pretty standard, but like, so there's one or two creative things in it. Yeah, you just stick to writing horror stories, or just stick to writing and cameoing every once in a while.
Yeah.
But I mean, good for Stephen King though for giving it a try. And shit, yeah. He's the man. He's the man. He's 75 years old and he's still crushing it.
He's still writing.
Yeah, he doesn't have to. He's got more than most people have in their life. Like, I mean, we forgot about his pen name, Richard Bachman. We never mentioned that. We should have mentioned that in Misery. And he had 7 under his pen name, but he's written over 200 short stories. This guy, he writes so much. Like, it's crazy. And he has sold more. His books have sold more than 350 million copies. Think about that. That never, ever happens. He is a genre, and I can't wait to talk about him again.
We can do Dreamcatcher, the It movies, The Green Mile, Shawshank Redemption.
There's so much we could do.
There's so many.
We could have like 3 Stephen King months.
1408. We have to do fucking 1408.
Obviously. Yeah. But next month, to close out the year, I'm going to do Raul a favor. And because you guys voted for it, we're doing Raul's comedies.
Yes.
So the first one that we're doing next week is a movie I know nothing about. So, but yeah, Raul's opinion is obviously biased because these are his favorite comedies. But I've never seen Undercover Brother.
Oh, masterpiece.
That is, yeah, get used to that. All December. So next week we're doing Undercover Brother.
Undercover Brother, yeah.
Until then, where can the good people find you?
You can find me as always at Robert RDC on Twitter, Instagram, and on Letterboxd at Robert RDC. Please follow the podcast and SYNS Pod on Twitter. Give us a nice review on Apple, Spotify, Google, and the other ones in Jubilee.
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter and on Letterboxd at Master of Puns 196. Every word starts with a capital letter. And you can also follow me on Instagram at Billy Batson's Lightning. Nothing is capitalized. And once again, you can follow our main show Twitter at SYNS Pod. Nothing or everything is had to mess up, of course.
Take two.
I'm still not. Anyway, you could also follow the main show Twitter at SYNSpod, as well as give us a 5-star and just write a review on Apple Podcasts, as well as listen to us on Google, Stitcher, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, wherever podcasts are listened to. And as always,
see you next summer. The lamb is going to get you. Ah! 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 Dun, 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 dun.